Job chapter 19, I thought about just a couple verses, but and there's just no way to do that, and it's such a glorious chapter. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye shall magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my paths. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and his countenance, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together, raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me." It sounded pretty bad, isn't it? So when you consider this in the moment that we now live, he said, "My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." I think that's glorious. They now are. But he had no knowledge of this at that time. "That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." A man of sorrows, that's Job. And yet he pens in that great sorrow one of the most glorious blessings found in all of Scripture. One to bring tears to the eyes of the redeemed. A most glorious note of promise brought tears to my... I heard that hymn that we did a while ago this morning, and when I first read this the other day, not first time, but this trip through, "A most glorious note of promise, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. In my darkest hour upon this earth," there was only one verse that I could claim, and that was in also in the book of Job. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. 31,173 verses in the Word of God. And there was but one verse that I could hold to. The entire Bible was before me, but the entire Bible had become strange to me. And for over 6 weeks, I could only go to one verse. One verse. Comfort in but one verse of over 30,000. And as Job, I too passed through the valley of death, and I came out far richer on the other side, just as he did. And though I certainly wouldn't wish it on anyone, I can tell you that how rich it you might be for such an experience. To be overthrown of God and compassed in his net. For whom God loveth, he chasteneth. Life weighed in the balance. An alien, Job said. I know of that. I've truly been. And now, as Paul and as Job, I'm ready. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Just knowing that he shall stand, or perhaps you might even say he's already stood upon this earth, because Bible times are not linear, you see. They are eternal. And in eternal, there is no time. But I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter days he shall stand upon this earth. I think it's pretty plain from the day's events that mortal man is a mess. I don't know why we're surprised. We read the headlines of the day. We see the news. And we're always surprised. We're kind of astounded. Astonished. Why? How can that be? We've read the book. But through it all, we must never forget that our Redeemer liveth, you see. Man totally depraved by nature. Men imagine a vain thing, do they not? I see it daily. But to those in Christ, hope. We have a hope that they don't have. If you would turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'd like to look at the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's finished. You remember he said it's finished. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. Who for the glory that was set before him endured the cross, can we not endure our lot? Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I see everything today, it seems, except that joy of what is yet to come. I don't see that. I should, but I don't. Christ endured the cross for it. Is it not set before us? The joy that is set before us, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is he not the author and finisher of our faith? He is. Thus are we to run with patience this race that is set before us. Do you not know that your Redeemer liveth? That as bad as it may seem, he suffered more. He endured the cross. And we're told to consider him, to consider that thing, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Our author, our finisher, faith, grace, hope. We've an armor like no other. We've a spiritual armor that natural man knows nothing of. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We've a sword like no other. We've a God like no other. A living God. Job, in all this travail, declared, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." It's said that Job's actually the earliest book of the Bible. Did you know that? The book of Job. And so here we have Job long before Calvary, long before the New Testament, long before written Bible. He said, "All that my words were recorded." And this man, Job, everything taken from him, and he declares, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Consider today a KJV, the King James Version, in history, and the Holy Ghost, all the things that are now available to you and I. And look at us. Here we are, long after Calvary, in the very last days. God's people distraught and troubled. As though he doesn't live. You see, we've too much. We're encompassed by an instant, you might say, supernatural media. We're engulfed in it. Job had four friends show up, and miserable comforters they were. You and I are literally connected to almost every living human being on this earth. It's crazy. It's unheard of. Too much information doesn't begin to reveal the problem. It's godlike. 100 years ago, not everyone in America had electricity. Everyone didn't get electricity until I think the 40s, 50s. I was already born, you see. And not all had a telephone, not even a telephone. But today we don't need God. You see, we are gods. Just like the serpent said. See? We don't read books. We don't sing hymns. We don't study the scriptures. But we spend all hours on a little piece of plastic. Only it's not all it's cracked up to be, you see. As I've often told those who want to own their own business, I always meet men, I want to own my own business. There's nothing wrong with that. I did want to, and I did. But it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, you see. Because when you own your own business, you end up being responsible for everything. The bills, the worries, cleaning the toilets, not getting paid. That's what it's like to own your own business. How'd you like to own your own business today? I'm so grateful I do not. The governments have closed them. You see. And they've told me who I can and cannot let in my own business. A mask. Gotta wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. You say, "Well, you won't be able to go." I won't go over there. If I have to drive 300 miles, it'll get done. God said he'd provide, didn't he? I know that my Redeemer liveth, you see. We're Christians. And God tells you and I that we're to be content with food, raiment. God tells us that we're to be content in whatever state we're in. Do we not know that our Redeemer liveth? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Just hear the sound of it. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Over and over. I know that my Redeemer liveth. All these things come down the pike. All these things come to pass. Government edicts, floods, earthquakes, riots. For I know my Redeemer liveth. Can you say it? Say it. For I know. Can you say it with your lips? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Say it again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Say it aloud. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see? What? Because I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Declare your faith in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace.
No.
We have redemption of sins through his blood. According to the riches of his grace. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Bible says, having predestinated, how glorious, having predestinated us, you and I, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Glory, hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth. He predestinated me. He adopted me. He chose me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Just listen to the words. I know my Redeemer liveth. There's a power in the very words that we speak in the beloved. There's a power in just speaking and just reading and just knowing the words of God. More supernatural and more powerful. This book is more powerful than this or anything like it. There's no computer like it. Just the words. Just the words of our text. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. There's nothing like it. There's no computer like it. There's no cell phone like it. There's nothing like it. It's eternal life. I said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. I don't think. I don't believe. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. He said, rejoice. And again I say, what did he say? Rejoice.
Rejoice.
What? I know my Redeemer liveth. Rejoice.
Amen.
You see. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Rejoicing in the Lord. I know my Redeemer liveth. The Lord is at hand, he said. Philippians 4. The Lord's at hand. Rejoice. You see? I know that my Redeemer liveth, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I remember that date. 1925, Brother James was born. Brother Voris was born. 1925, I've always remembered that. Job 19:25. Now you learn the Bible verse. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job 19:25. Let's say it. Job, say it. Job 19:25. What does it say? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job 19:25. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. For I know that my Redeemer liveth.